Good morning. Today's class is Le'unishmar Yerfal Dina Gudais Yom Adema Arab Daniel Hakon Ben Yafa Rufo Shalem Harav Shalmei Amina Arab Daniel Metzara Elishav Magal B'Shef Haleya Meir Tuviv Ben Chaya and success in Yerushmar Yerfal Shev Adabak Adiyah Ben Yerushmar Emet Ben Yerushmar Shefa Bar Yerushmar Reina Makav Tov Abasha and also Chana Edin Ben Gazela. She should also have success. Okay, today's also Chana Ben Adel. Please share and rate the podcast. God willing, next week I'm going to be out, but we already pre-recorded amazing stuff. We did one on food addictions. We did one with Ellie Nash. We did another class with Toby Rubenstein, and one more, God willing. So you guys are going to have another. You have plenty of content for next week, God willing. All right, today's class is from the Kabbalah of Character. The book is called Kabbalah of Character. It's from the JLI. And JLI is a beautiful organization. Basically, they take Hasidic, mostly Chabad. They take modern psychology, and they really pretty much blend it together. It's like a course. Somebody recommended it to me and gave me a few books. And it happens to be really, really good. So we already spoke about the concept of Reb Nachman's concepts on how changing your attitude towards any situation can better the situation. It's really, really through, as we said many times, through joy you will go out. Now we're going to talk about what Chabad's strategy, pretty much, for these kind of situations when a person's dealing with situations of sadness, situations where a person has to think greater than they feel. So it's pretty much, let's take a look at Chabad's approach to it. Not only Chabad's approach, but he also brings down Viktor Frankl, etc. He says here, happiness cannot, this is a very, very important concept from Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl came up with the concept of logotherapy. Logotherapy is the concept that whatever means, you can change the meaning of anything. I mean, it's pretty much any situation, even the most dire situation, such as the Holocaust, a person can adjust the meaning. Nobody can ever give you a meaning from something. And this is why it's extremely, extremely important. We are responsible for the meaning. And then we end up getting the right feeling. So this is where it's so important that as we grow in our consciousness, we give things better meaning. But when we live in very low consciousness, all we do is give it the worst meaning, which ends up giving us the worst feeling. So the result of growing is that life is a battle unto itself. You know, the minute, you know, thank God I had a very smooth month, and then the minute things just get smooth a little bit, boom! Like, here you go. Here's the next mountain you got to climb up. I don't know where this one came from, but I thought I was on cruise control for a little bit. And apparently my creator doesn't like me going on cruise control. And we want to go on cruise control sometimes. There's times in life that we need a little bit of yeshuva dat, some patience and calmness for a little bit. But apparently that's not so great for our souls, because after cruise control comes comfort. And that becomes a new norm. Happiness cannot be pursued. It must be ensued. And it only happens, it does not happen as an unintended side effect of one's personal dedication to a cause greater than oneself, but as a byproduct to one's surrendering to a person other than oneself. So anytime that you're going through situations in life, you have to always think bigger. Don't think, you know, we're thinking that we're going to be happy with this. We always have to think bigger. There's always seek bigger meaning. And I always said two reasons why people are in treatment. One, trauma. Second, lack of meaning. And Viktor Frankl says, when there's no meaning, there's the vacuum in your life, which leads to anger, addictions, and all kinds of things. That vacuum, I mean, it's to the extent where I don't live in meaning in my life. I don't have any purpose. I don't have any leaving. I don't have any meaning. Then my life is just a vacuum. It's a vacuum of, what do you think you're going to put into it? You know, one, I love the heat. How much could they win? Okay, once the season's over, what are you going to do next? I mean, the physicality can only do so much for us. You know, everybody, you're going to go Grand Prix tomorrow at the Monaco, and then you're going to go here, and then you're going to go here. It's still going to be an empty space. We really need to seek something beyond ourselves. Hugh Downs says, a joyful person is not a person in a set of certain circumstances, but rather a person with a certain set of attitudes. So joy is really not about the situation. Joy is about your attitude in the situation. knowing how to dance in the storm. That is joy, being able to dance in the middle of the storm. This other text is from, I believe this is from the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya basically was the head of Chabad Chassidus. And the Baal HaTanya basically him and Rav Nachman were at the same time. But they got along with each other, but they both went separate ways. Basically saying that the path of Chabad Chassidus and the path of Brest of Chassidus is a completely different path. It's each one connects differently, but it's a completely different path. If you see Breslov, it's more of a sense of urgency, emotional, or Chabad is more the mind. So this is where you can connect differently to where you connected. But the Baal HaTanya was a great, great, great tzaddik. And he says that this is the most important true cardinal principle. That is, anytime you're going to have a victory, where Chabad's concept is you have a nefesh habahama and nefesh ruach. So you have two souls, one animal soul and one godly soul. It's pretty much who's running the show in your life. And he's saying that there's one thing, no matter how much you're struggling in life, there's one thing you cannot do, is be lazy. That means it's okay to have a struggle with sexual issues. It's okay to have a struggle with food. But there's one thing you cannot do, is be lazy. The laziness is going to make it impossible for you to win. And you could see this today in sport. It's not the team that's more talented. It's the team that wants it more. Clearly, the Miami Heat have shown they're out-talented. The other teams are much more talented than the Heat. But do the Heat want it more? Absolutely. And it shows you how there's five players in the team that are undrafted. They're undrafted. They didn't even make the draft. And yet this team is in the finals, and they pulled the victory yesterday. So, in this merit, may they win the finals. But what the Baal HaTanya is saying, it's that there's, even if there's two fighters and one is stronger than the other, if the stronger one becomes lazy, he will lose. So this is where EQ is stronger than IQ. Emotional intelligence is more important than IQ. And you could see this, you know, today we're judging too many people on intelligence. You need to judge people on their heart. That's what's happening in the world. Too much intelligence and not heart. Judge a person's heart. Angela Duckworth wrote a great book called Grit, basically showing the science how it's really, really, really the people that want things more. And you could never be in a better place than Rav Nachman to teach you yearning. If there's one person that's going to teach you yearning, is Rav Nachman. Rabbi Nachman's his whole essence is yearning. Yearning, always, always heart. So Breslov is very, very centered in, I'm broken, but I'm whole at the same time. Where I'm not that I'm broken. It's just a lack of yearning. There's nothing wrong with me. It's just the only thing that's wrong with me is I'm not yearning it enough. I'm not putting enough effort, which is great because it's not like you're better than he. He's better than how much are you putting towards this? And I see this, and you know, when there's one thing in my life that I could see black and white, it's which is Rabbi Nachman's lesson 9 basically tells us that our quality of our prayer basically mirrors our quality of our relationships and our quality of finance. They're both connected because they both mirror the concept of splitting of the Red Sea. All right, there's splitting of the sea represents 12 lanes, which represents prayer. And also what represents prayer also, the Gemara says that making a living and finding a shidduch is as difficult as splitting of the sea. So we know from these two concepts that these two concepts have a lot to do with your ability to attract better unions in your life. And at the end of the day, if you look at business, if you look at relationships, it's all about connections. It's all about getting the charisma in the relationship. It's not, if you don't have that charisma, these relationships don't come to you. And we can do that through prayer, because through prayer, we're able to let go and get into a higher consciousness. So this is where you have to, extremely important is not look, don't look at the problem. Look at, am I being lazy in the situation? And laziness, there's absolutely no room where you're going to get even any kind of kosher cheshker on any laziness. That's something we can completely, and not only is laziness It's better that you should be broken and fall 10 times. As long as you keep on trying and as long as you desire, you will not get judged. But you will get judged when you become lazy. So that's the thing. You have to think about something in your life, how laziness is automatically an invitation for problems to come. So think about an area. If you don't get yourself out of your comfort zone yourself, life will get you out of your comfort zone through a rejection. It's an area you have to ask yourself, how much is my intensity? How much intensity do I have in this situation? And God puts us in a situation where we're squeezed that you have to scream out. The Baal HaTanya also says that simcha nullifies all internal and external obstacles, causing them to be repeal of themselves, just as darkness is removed by light. So again, any light, any darkness is an absence of light. That's what darkness represents. And our job is to reveal it, is to reveal the light through the darkness. The same concept here. Through joy, you can do that. Because joy liberates the Shekhinah. Every day, we have to talk about the importance of simcha. Every day. I was just reading a book on acupuncture and Chinese medicine, and it's all comes back to joy. When you have joy, everything's in harmony. It's exactly the whole point of Chinese medicine and acupuncture is just to get the yin yang, to get the balance, and to get the flow going and the blood flow. But once there's stagnation, once there's things are not moving, then all of a sudden everything else takes effect. And it's all about that yin-yang effect in life, having that the ability to have that balance in your life. And joy, like Reb Nachman says, because dis-ease means the elements, the four elements, are not at ease. There's a dis-ease. And healing is all about bringing them back together. And that's what we have to identify the element that's off, identify the area of our life that's off. It could be laziness, it could be excessive. Laziness is earth. Excessiveness is water, right? Air is being too aloof in life, and fire is anger. That pretty much knocks off the organ, which knocks off the meridian. It's unbelievable. It's like a well-oiled machine, your body, and it all starts with your emotions. Your emotions can knock everything out. If you have positive emotions, if you're happy, then everything's in harmony. It's pretty much when you have the CEO of the company, you know, God forbid, destroying his life, eventually the employees take a hit, and then everything else takes a hit. The whole company goes to, unfortunately, go the wrong way. But when the CEO is a good leader, and that's why in life there's a great line that says, there are no bad teams, they're just bad leaders. And we are the leader, we are the leaders, we have to lead ourselves. And that's the concept of confidence. Another beautiful concept, what he's saying here, is this is from Rabbi Yosef Yitzhak Schneerson, from the Igros Kodesh. He says, be joyful as you would be if the desired result had already been achieved. Be joyful, like I've said this before, already walk like it's in the bag. Not out of arrogance, but out of confidence. Remember, when I do this, remember that there's a very important concept, there's a very important line here. You need to understand. It cannot be like a New Yorker, what time is it, what time am I getting it? That knocks it off, because that knocks off the joy. That means, be joyful as it would be if the desired result had already been achieved. But, what is the reason for this joy? Is it possible to delight in something that does not exist? Can you delight in something that does not exist? One should conceive the matter being resolved and then think about the ramifications of it being resolved. And finally, he should feel like it's already resolved and think about how he would feel if the situation would already be solved. If the matter is in the mind's eye is positive, he will be delighted and joyful as he already had taken place. That is one thing that happened to me when I was going through my divorce. I got to a point where I didn't care anymore if it was settled, if it was not settled, because I was too much fighting. I was fighting something I couldn't control. And I walked around like a free man, and I became free afterwards. And that is exactly true. I don't know how that happened to me. I didn't learn it. I decided enough. I had enough. I'm not fighting what is. I'm done with resisting. I'm going to accept, and I'm going to walk around like it's already in the bag. And this tool I've used many, many times. This is the concept of the Cheesecake Party. This is the concept of already planning something. But this is, again, this is not the secret. This is from a Hasidic source 150 years ago. Rabbi Nachman says the same thing, by the way. He says you have to walk around already, like pretend you're in the worst marriage in the life. You have to start walking, pretend like you have the most loving spouse in the world, and you're on your honeymoon. And that feeling comes because at the end of the day, joy liberates the Shekhinah out of exile. So, but the whole thing is here is, can you believe it? Right? We spoke about another concept, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berdichev, that Hashem's name is He is, He was, and He will be, right? That means the solution is already there in our lives. It has not been brought down. So this is why I like to manifest, and I like to manifest with music. Why? Because music allows you to evoke emotion. When you're listening to a song that's your favorite song, you can let go more. Music allows us to let go and invoke our imagination. Remember, it's all there. It's just we are blocking it because we're in our head too much. That's the problem. We are way too much in our head. So this is where you have to close the head, open up the heart, and let go. Everything's about letting go. At the end of the day, it all comes to the same thing. You have to know how to let go and have faith that it's already there. Another great example of this was Miriam. Miriam already brought the drums and the orchestra before the splitting of the sea. She already visualized it, the sea splitting already and celebrating. So I know this is absolutely opposite of our normal basis of control and worry, but this is what's getting you into the problem. When you let go and trust is how you're going to get out of this. So if you're single, walk around like you're happily married. If you're not happily married, walk around like you're happily married. And walk around if you feel financial scarcity, walk around like you're with abundance. Walk around with abundance. Give charity. Abundant people give charity. Abundant people don't worry. Walk around with that abundance. It's extremely important because this is an energy thing. It's a complete energy. Even on a date, you go on a date with somebody. If they're blocked, nothing's happening. Walk around like it's already, like you don't, it's not bothering you anymore. And that's how you will resolve it. And this is what Chabad says, think good and it will be good. But Rav Nachman mimics these concepts. But remember, if you believe in something, you cannot have a stopwatch. The reason why we stop is because of the stopwatch, because it's not happening quick enough. That's not letting go. That's a transaction. You understand? This is where, you know, the people would write letters to Rabbi Rush. Rabbi, I said thank you. I said thank you and nothing happened. Because you're saying thank you out of a transaction. You don't feel grateful. You understand? You could say, I feel like, but it has to, you have to feel it. It has to come into your heart. You have to open up that energy. And unfortunately today, it's a habit of always resisting. It's funny how you're going to hear the exact same advice from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So these are sources. This is not a law of attraction. This is real stuff. And this is where, again, it's always good to have, our sages tell us, it's always good to have they will tell you, if you have a problem, do a sudat hodah. Do a sudat of a Thanksgiving offering. Do like a sudat hodah. When people will come out of danger, plan a meal. Plan a meal of separation where you invite 10 people and you say something. Plan the speech already. I mean, the bottom line is you got to get out of your head. Comes down to the same thing. You have to get out of your head. I wanted to get my kids in a specific school, right? And there was an issue. We were not in the same page. And I literally pictured picking them up. I was just throwing it out, just crazy obsessiveness. And thank God, it happened. There was a lot of U-turns and a lot of things that didn't appear. But the goal ended up happening. So it's extremely important that this has to be constantly rehearse it. and give it energy. Just like think about how you give other things energy, and look what they're doing. Give it the positive things energy. Feed things you want, not what you don't want. Don't feed the weeds. You understand? Weeds do not need motivation to grow. You ever need a weed? Weed will grow in the middle of you, break your house. If a tree will go in, a bark will break your whole foundation in your house. Weeds do not need motivations. Positivity, faith needs motivation. Got to cut the weeds and start feeding that thing. And again, the best way to do this is through your Hizbo Dedut. Is have that daily ritual. You could do your Hizbo Dedut and spend a few times. Or do it at night. Do it in an area where you're going to be consistent. Do it in an area where you're going to be consistent. And do it, I strongly urge you to pick a song to do it with also. Because the song evokes emotion. Song opens up the heart. The song's music kills the ego. The ego always is fear. No, it's not going to happen. Why should I try? I'm going to get hurt. Hashem let me down 100 times already. This is all in your own heads. This is where we have to do a lot of unlearning a lot. You know, Rav Natan came to Rav Nachman and he first had to completely go into a spiritual concussion. You know why? Because he was very successful and he had tons of money. And he could have been a rabbi on his own. But before he reached Rabbi Nachman, he knew he had to unlearn in order to learn. So we also have to unlearn all of this nonsense that we have in our heads and start really learning again. And I can tell you from my own case, when you can't do these exercises, it's because you are blocked. And then you have to start talking, then figure out where the blockage is and work on the blockage. Work on the blockage, work on the fear. And it's all fear-based. What if it's not going to work? Then again, that's a deficiency in emunah. Work on your emunah. Talk about emunah. Pray for emunah. Whatever you see the blockages, you'll know exactly, as we said many times, wherever you see the shadow, there you know where the light is. But pick the favorite song. Pick the favorite song. And visualize and give it energy. Energy, energy. That's what you need to do. If it's your school, picture yourself picking up. If it's your wedding dress, picture yourself. If it's you're single, picture yourself inviting your friends, sending them emails. Picture yourself inviting emails and sending them emails for the invitation. You know, or picture the glass breaking. You know, visualize the glass breaking. I've done this many, many times for hundreds of things, and it's worked. And when I don't do it, it's because I don't know how much I want that goal. It's not a question of does it work or not. But it does require imagination. It requires work, and it's you have to be relentless and you cannot give up. But number one thing, do not bring a stopwatch. If you bring a stopwatch, it will be over, because you will have no patience. You'll see it's not changing. Your job is to go outside. You plant it, you visualize it, and you put a smile and you walk away. You don't ask, well, what time is the score changing? Why is this happening? This is where we fail. We fail when we put a stopwatch on these goals. And we also have to remember, why am I getting this desire in the first place? This is coming from heaven. But heaven can't give you a finished product. Heaven will give you the flower. You have to make it into a cake. Heaven cannot do the work for you, but it can give you a little bit of a ratzon. It can give you a little bit of a mind. Hey, I need to do this. I need to do this. This is where we get these desires. And then we need to go to work, visualize things. And that's a form of prayer. Is visualization is a form of prayer. Rabbi Pinson speaks about this constantly. This Torah is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. You should know there's a great letter, there's a great concept. The Lubavitcher Rebbe told my mother how it's a miracle how the rabbi was able to dictate, write letters to people, and he was so accurate. He literally wrote letters to my mother and my grandmother, basically because my parents were divorced, but I was 7, 8 years old, telling us you have to leave Colombia and come to America. And he told us, I came here with me and my sister, we were 6, 8 years old by ourselves. It was a complete 007 mission. But He literally, those letters were completely on the money. They were completely accurate. And I'm here because of the Chabad, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So we have a lot of respect and a lot of for Chabad's teachings. Acting joyfully. Always express yourself in a manner indicating joy. Even if your heart will feel, if the heart were filled with happiness, even if you don't feel that way all the time. By acting that way, one ends up being this way. For man is affected by his deeds and actions to the point that ultimately these will come ingrained in his heart. How shall a man train himself in these positive dispositions? Ingrained by frequent repetition of consistent these dispositions. So if you constantly repeat, you get in life what you repeat. So the same thing, you just have to get, I always say the first 15 days of breaking a habit are unbearable. The second 15 days are uncomfortable, and then you'll be unstoppable. You have to pay the price for the first 30 days. You know, if you have a hard time waking up in the morning, you know what you should do? Take your phone and throw it. Throw it for 15 days. Or, you know, if you have a hard time breaking a habit, do something. It's what he's saying here is constant repetition. The other way, if you're a lazy person, walk around for 40 days with tons of energy. Just completely go the opposite direction. Again, just like in life, it's very simple. We make roads. Certain habits make roads, and these roads lead to dead ends. But we've created that road. We've created that road. But that road, you know, it's a dead end. So you go to the, you're driving on the highway. What do you see? Right? New roads being built. You need to build a new road. That road says dead end. It's nowhere, nothing's going to happen there. Right? It's funny how we see dead end, and you turn around. And then you see a new road happening, a new road. So if there's a new road, we have to create a new road by having a new pattern. And yes, the first 15 days are extremely unbearable. They're uncomfortable. The next 15 days becomes uncomfortable. Then you'll get into such momentum. You see this all the time at the gym. Where next thing all the guy does is he starts losing 10 pounds. He gets into flow. You don't need to convince the guy to go to the gym anymore. He gets into that healthy flow. It's the same thing his Bodhidut does, by the way. It's about the dudes. Once you break the beginning and you start getting into that flow, you just get into flow. You get into flow. So that's ask yourself, what road do I need to build? What road do I need to build? And the reason why I have dead ends today is because I've built those roads. God didn't give you dead end roads. We built specific habits that led us to dead ends. A dead end would be resentment in a relationship and expecting a great marriage. That's a dead end. That's a dead end. You know it's a dead end. So what's a new dead end? Sending love to your spouse. What's a dead end? Complaining about the situation. What's a new road? Making adjustments in the situation. But at the end of the day, again, these roads are not created in heaven. You created it. You created it. I have some dead end roads that I know that the only way to get them is go completely the opposite direction. And notice it, you know? Notice it. And this is exactly what he's saying here. It's not so much... That means acting it, because if I act it, automatically, you're going to believe it eventually. You understand? When I get into in line, imagine somebody, you were in a concussion, right? Let's say you have a hard time sleeping. You have a hard time getting up in the morning. And imagine if they told you that you just came out of a concussion and you're a Navy SEAL. How in the world would you wake up as a Navy SEAL? How in the world? You would go on your phone for 2 hours? A Navy SEAL gets up in the morning and starts roaring like a lion. Imagine you were a concussion. And that's who they told you. You, by the way, you're a Navy SEAL. How would you wake up in the morning? So sometimes we have to use these tricks for our minds. You have to use these tricks because when you're thinking you're energetically, when you're in a positive mindset, you will become stronger. The flow moves quicker. Your mochim move quicker. This is Rav Nachman always advised us that when you're not concentrated in prayer, he advises you to clap strong, and talk loud. So you see in Breast of Synagogue, you'll see clapping and talking loud because now you need a different emotion to wake up. So energetically, you have to move. Even Rav Nachman would say that if you are If you're tired, speak loud. Speak loud, and then the emotion comes afterwards. So again, it's not. Don't be concerned about the feeling. Concerned about the action that will change the feeling. Because again, we have to understand that the mechanism that the Yetzer Hara uses is definitely resistance. Anything that's, you know, it's the most obvious thing in the world. Whatever you resist is exactly what you need to do. It's the bottom line. It's exactly what you need to do in your life. Whatever you resist, you exactly what you need to do in your life. Period. Another beautiful from the Ramban. The spirit of God departed from Shaul, and he was tormented by a spirit of melancholia from God. Saul's servant said to him, "See now, a spirit of melancholia from God torments you. Let our Lord command his servant to seek a man who knows how to play the harp, so the spirit of melancholia is upon you. He will play this harp, and it will leave you." And so it happened. He woke up David HaMelech. David HaMelech played the music and ended up getting Shaul out of that. So sometimes if you're in the wrong, put music on. Remember, he didn't say Shaul is depressed. He said a spirit of negativity came upon him. But that doesn't mean he's a negative person. A spirit came on him. So sometimes we get into a bad ruach comes over us. See the difference? I'm not the ruach. I'm not the depression. I got a sense of depression. I got a wind of. Of course, there's chemical depression. Of course, that's a whole different story unto itself. But there's always that option that we need to understand. Like we are sitting there, and there's a black cloud over us, and it's raining. But we have to understand it's just a black cloud. I'm not in the black cloud. It's over me, and it will pass. And I have to bring in a sunny, a nice cloud to come over. But they didn't identify themselves as I am depressed for 2 years. You know, the whole point is, don't give it energy. Don't give it resistance. It's just a spirit that comes over us. It happens to us all day long. Guys, there's not one day that we have I think it's a Michelin. There's not an hour that does not have torment. There's not an hour that's not sour, a moment that doesn't have torment. So it's normal for you to have, for your moods to go, to shift through the day, as there's even every constellation, every hour has a different energy connected to it, one hour is Aries, 1 hour is, again, it's a different combination of God's name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Look at Sefer Yetzirah. So there's different energies even through the hour, through the day, that things can just rapidly change. So don't say, I'm having a bad day. Say, I'm having a bad hour. See the difference? We can always reignite the day. I'm having a bad hour. Did you ever hear anybody say, I'm having a bad hour? When's the last time you said, I'm having a bad hour? They always tell you, oh, what a day, what a week, what a month, what a year, what a life. It's just a bad day doesn't mean a bad life. But you are saying one bad day, hour, that's it. I mean, the customer goes into a store, doesn't buy the car at 9 o'clock. Oh, what a day it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be. I mean, that's just emotional. Your emotions are just dictating. So it's extremely important. Remember. And we all know already the simple rules in life that first we get tested, then we get blessed. I mean, how many times do we have to pass that test? First you get tested, and then you get blessed. How many times did you get blessed on the first shot in my life? I asked myself, I never got blessed on the first shot. It was the second marriage that was good. It's always the second business, the second business. Always the second thing. And I was asking myself, why always the second thing? Why was the second thing? It's because the first one was always a test. How are you going to handle failure? How are you going to handle things that don't work out in life? So sometimes I just want to get the process, get the failure over, so we can get moving already. But this is why it's important. Emunah comes before Yedida. I mean, Emunah comes before knowledge. I can't tell you how many times this has happened. That means just because something didn't work out doesn't mean it'll never work out. That's the test. The second one will work out usually. That's what I've seen in my life. So this is where you have to know how to go into Emunah, and you have to know how to win, and you also have to know how to lose in life. Because if you do not know how to lose gracefully, you will crash. You have to know how to lose gracefully or learn gracefully, etc. This is from Rav Adin Steinhardt's from The Long and Short Way. It says, it's extremely beautiful what he says here. May he rest in peace. He wrote many, many books. And he says, one of them is called The Longer, Shorter Way. And this concept is really, really great. He's saying, turning sadness into action. He says, it's a fact that when we go through negative events, sometimes these negative events, when we're going through a situation in our life, for example, a person's going through situations in his life, he's more vulnerable and more open when he's going through pain, right? The ego pierces, the pain pierces the ego. Next thing you know, when a person is going through a situation, he's much more open. Before, I know everything in the world. But once here comes good old the gift of pain, next thing you know, it humbles you up, it opens up your perspective. And he's saying here that, of course, sadness can drag you the wrong way. But if you convert that sadness into a sense of action, a broken heart, like, I can't take this anymore. I am not living this way. And this is exactly what this is mirroring, is when we eat the bitter herbs, right? The bitter herbs is teaching you, when we eat the bitter herbs in Passover, I'm tasting this bitterness, but I don't want this bitterness anymore. This bitterness is, I want to be free. So when you're going through, God forbid, a situation of a bad addiction, you have to use that bitterness to create some kind of action. That should tell you, listen, I've got the gift of rock bottom. When you told me in my life, when I've gone through a situation where things got so bad that it fueled me to do his body, that I turned that into action. You have to ask yourself, is your sadness turning you into action? Then that actually is very good. That means if the sadness is fueling you into action, into some kind of new plan, into some kind of this, then that is actually bitterness that becomes sweet afterwards. Right? Medicine has to become, medicine is not sweet. Medicine is bitter. But medicine heals the person. So that sadness is really, really a good, is really, really bitter herbs. Remember, we speak about the concept of the bitterness. Bitter, it's not sad, it's bitter. But the bitter should turn you into action versus the opposite, where the sadness turns you into inaction. That's ego-based, that's arrogance. But if the bitterness is turning into action, like, I have to start over, I can't deal with this anymore, I got to do something about this, then that's actually a good place, because you're vulnerable and you have checked your ego. What's your ego do? Your ego is 0 for 20 right now. You haven't won anything lately. So when you are completely in a bitter, broken state, this is where you're most raw and vulnerable to be able to win again, because you're more open. Who are you bragging to? And it's amazing how that happens, huh? We don't learn it the easy way. We learn it the longer, shorter way. It happens to all of us. And the last one, this is from Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Lubavitch, from the Igros Kodesh, which is the Samet Tzedek. Beautiful what he's saying here. And this is exactly what I speak about not giving things energy, as far as when I say I have anxiety over having anxiety. I'm depressed because I'm depressed. I have a headache because I have a headache. You understand? I'm nervous because I'm in a nervous situation. Do you understand how much things, and there's a concept like David Hawkins says, that basically anything, in order to live it, for it to live, you're giving it energy. Otherwise, it will eventually go away on its own. But if you give it energy, that's what Nachman says, if you have a bad thought in prayer, you shouldn't even think about it. You shouldn't be bothered by it. You should just completely let it pass its way, right? But if you are giving it energy, you now actually are giving that thing resistance. So we're saying here, anxiety, for example, something brought upon by oneself. We spoke about anxiety being an obsession with self, right? Usually we get anxious because we're obsessed with ourselves, Oh, you're thinking everything about you. Oh my God, they're talking about me. This is a self-comparison. You're comparing yourself to other people. Anxiety can also be brought upon outcome obsession. But again, this is not heaven. This is you. So anxiety can often be brought by oneself. In turn, one is also free and able to refrain from it. The fact is that as soon as one stops thinking about it altogether, the feelings of anxiety will disappear themselves. At the very least, the anxiety will become dormant and it will be no longer be sensed. After a few days, it will be nullified together to the point where it's no longer arising in the mind, not even an alien thought. That means you have to be a master of just one way I do it is letting go. Here comes the anxiety and just laugh at it. Laugh. Laughter is the greatest way to let go. Right? You're fighting with somebody. Next thing you know, you crack a joke. All of a sudden, everybody feels lighter because you just let go. That's why you always want to change the pattern. Anxiety is nullified by withdrawing our thoughts from it, for all emotions are sustained by mulling over thoughts that cause them. Stopping to think about them will therefore automatically remove the energy from the emotion. This will prevent the emotion from being aroused and simply cease to cease it. The principal way of withdrawing one's thinking from this, anxiety, for example, anxiety is by making sure you divert yourself to something else, something cheerfully. Study something that gladdens your heart. A diversion of thought can also be affected by thinking about something significant, cheerful matter. So again, the most important thing is to not, and I remember this happened to me in the first night of Rosh Hashanah a couple years ago, 3-4 years ago in Uman. I was in the middle of Baruch Hu, they say the whole sentence is coming down to you on Baruch Hu itself. And I was back then we prayed before we prayed in the Syrian synagogue in Uman, but we prayed in a Sephardic synagogue, which is in a basement. And, you know, there's 8,000 Israelis, there's Morocco, there's the whole, you name it. I mean, and all of a sudden, the lights go out. The Russians on purpose, what they do is, the Ukrainians, they shut up, they play, but they shut the lights so the mafia can get paid. There's a whole package there. The bottom line is, they shut the air conditioning, there's no air conditioning, and lights, and everybody's screaming, there's no heat, you can't breathe. And this is right before Rosh Hashanah. I mean, this is right before Baruch Hu is coming out. You're supposed to greet the new year. Here I am trying to greet the new year. I feel like I'm in Times Square with no direction. And I started screaming, I'm freezing. I'm freezing. It's so cold in here. It's freezing. Everybody thought I was crazy. But I said, if I don't say this, I'm going to go freak out, because next thing you know, I think about the heat, the panic, how am I going to get out, and this, and this, and this, I was going to go, oh, you're going to lose your mind. So I said, I'm freezing. And I psyched myself out, and I didn't bother me, the air, nobody screamed, I couldn't care, I was in my own lane, I was in my own place, nothing bothered me. So sometimes you have to go into, you know, when you say, I have so much anxiety, just start saying, I'm excited, instead of saying, I'm anxious. I'm excited. I'm excited for this new class. I'm excited for my Shalom Bayit challenge. I'm excited for this. Channel the anxiety, which is self-centered, which is I'm frightened, right? Channel to I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. And when you channel it, then you can take the same energy, and not only you're not giving a resistance, you're going exactly the other way. Have a great day.